Good afternoon from Henry Addington's. This is podcast number 68, lads.
I saw you check there, Jim.
I wasn't sure what podcast it was. We're outside. Last week we were inside, and there
this
was
could be touch or go. I think it's a bit cold.
It's not too cold. Let's be honest. Well.
I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty nippy. I'm not sure how happy I am about this.
You've got a cardigan on. That's
I've got my blardigan.
Blardigan on.
But it's nippy.
Anyway, show number 68. 1968. Leeds United won their first ever First Division title in 1968 by 6 points from Liverpool. There you go. Podcast 68. Dan Silver is with me.
Good afternoon.
Sean Miller is with us again.
Afternoon.
And Stuart Hoare. You're going to stay for the whole of the show this
week? I can't guarantee anything, mate.
I wouldn't guarantee anything at all. Especially when you've got a brown envelope in your hand like that. All right, crack straight on, lads. Performance of the week. I'm going to go first this time.
Go on,
then. It's a player for me. A guy called Lee Minchell. Stuart will know. He's a
friend of the show.
One of my mates, friend of the show. He scored his first goal for Newport County last night, and they won 1-0.
Well,
congratulations.
And they needed that win as well, because they're quite near the bottom of the league. Yeah. They were down the bottom. I can't remember who they beat, to be honest. I think it was Bath City. And bizarrely, I'm going to mention Bath City in a little bit as well. But Bath City are down there as well. So, Lee Minchell for me. There we go. Someone else, Dan?
Funnily enough, it might have to be Tottenham Hotspur and, more importantly, Adebayor.
Fair enough.
What an absolute game that was.
It's funny, he actually looks like he's bothered now. Now there's another striker.
Yeah, he really does look. I mean, Louis Saha's up there as well as a possible candidate.
He looks inspired.
Yeah, I mean, they're two great goals.
Yeah, but he won't score anymore now. That's it for him. That's it for the season.
That's good enough. I mean, to set up four and score one, Adebayor was absolutely. And he said he couldn't believe how much he started running the channels and getting crosses in. And
do you know the one thing I took from that game? The atmosphere was rubbish for most of it. At White Hart Lane. I would disagree with that.
Thank you.
QPR Tottenham was awful.
I would completely disagree about that. Spurs is usually a good atmosphere, but they sung about Harry, and apart from that, they were 5-0 up, and I was flicking between the Spurs game and Blackpool versus Portsmouth, which was on Sky Sports 1 or 2.
Oh, yeah.
And my cat watched that game.
What?
My cat watched the Blackpool Portsmouth game. I've got a little picture of it, Jim. I'll show you in a bit.
Are you serious?
Yeah, genuine, look.
Sue, don't worry, but it's not going to be that engaging for the listeners of you showing us a picture of your cat watching the Black. Okay, what did your cat think of the Blackpool game, Sue?
She wasn't keen.
When you say she watched it, did you give her the option of watching the Spurs game as well, or did she not have an option?
No, I don't think I gave her the option, actually, yeah.
Anyway, I'll go back to what I was saying about the football rather than Stu's cats, which is lovely. I was switching over to the Blackpool game. The Blackpool was a really good atmosphere. Portsmouth took 1,500 fans for a Saturday evening game, which was on TV. That's impressive.
That's good.
With all the admin stuff that they've got going on as well, that is really good.
And
it was a cracking atmosphere. And Blackpool fans were quite good as well. Flicking back to your game, you're 4-0 up, you're 5-0 up. Fair enough, you could say they're running away with the game, so that if it was 1-1 or 2-1, the atmosphere might have been better. But still, you're not going to be 5-0 up against Newcastle, a decent team this year as well.
Yeah.
It's a big result. Mm. But, all right, so is it going to Adebayor or Spurs, your performance?
I think it'll have to go to Adebayor. Four assists and a goal.
Fair enough, mate.
Sean.
Thanks, mate.
I think we're going to touch on it later as well, but I'm going to go with Zambia. Brilliant underdog story.
Well, let's touch on it now, as we're there.
Yeah,
we're there. Did you watch the penalty final then?
Yeah. But no, we could have used some of their penalty takers.
Yeah.
Bloody
14
hell.
Penalties scored in a row. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
But not just penalties.
They were all
epic penalties.
Bloody good,
top corner most of
them,
apart from the keeper who took it and done it. I mean, nerves of steel, to be fair, but it was an awful pen. But
he
wrong way.
Refused to take a penalty.
Well, he took one in the end, didn't he? Because he was the one that missed.
And skied it.
Yeah. But if you don't fancy, you don't fancy. But he's Premier League player. I was watching with my girlfriend, and she was like, she wanted to know a little bit about the teams. So I was basically right. Well, Drogba plays for Chelsea. He's on whatever grand a week. And I don't know who the Zambians are. I don't know where they play. But a few of them might play sort of in Europe.
Yeah. No. They have two players that play in Europe. One of them, their star player, was injured.
Okay.
Really?
So yeah, they had a team, and the goalkeeper. This is the same geezer who caught the ball out of the box earlier on in the tournament.
Yeah.
Do you remember? He went and caught the ball and went.
If we're talking goalkeepers in that game, the Ivory Coast goalkeeper is called Barron, which I thought was phenomenal. And he didn't let a goal in.
That penalty was
the first goal that he let in the whole tournament. So they didn't let a goal.
Missed an early penalty early on,
didn't miss it, did he? Still travelling somewhere.
But that was I think it was actually lovely to watch, wasn't it?
It was.
Like I said, after the 93 tragedy, where the last time they're actually
really
in Gabon was when that, and the only chance they were going to have to play in Gabon is if they got to the final, which was unlikely in the first place, and they got there and everything, and it was just brilliant. But I tell you what, anyone noticed? I had no idea that they had a French porn star as a manager.
It's always the same. Always the same.
What a sexy man.
He's very sexy.
What a
man.
Sexy man with his open shirt
I'll
and his tan.
Do you remember the Senegal?
My Mrs. Canavron, Jeremy.
Yeah. Do you remember the Senegal manager as well in the World Cup? Like, yeah. They have a really badly faked tanned white man with blonde hair. They love him. They absolutely love him.
Do you know what I love?
Should we get you a week?
He loves himself a little bit as well.
He does love himself.
See, after the game, he ran about screaming, shirt unbuttoned down, "I am the chosen one.
Is that what you're saying?
I am Africa's chosen coach."
No.
Yeah. I saw it, he picked up his injured player.
I was going to say that.
He just plugged him down.
He did chuck him down. But he did it. He carried the injured defender to the rest of the team so they could celebrate.
They were praying, weren't they? The scene between the penalties was quite good
as
well.
Yeah, that was close.
And one last thing on that, fair play to Drogba. Balls of steel, because he stepped up and he needed to score that pen.
Yeah.
Having missed the one in the normal time, it was the fifth pen.
He looked terrified.
Yeah, he did. He did look very terrified.
I do love the fact they're called the Chilopolopo.
How do you spell that?
Chilopolopo.
Do you know what that's it means at all?
Is no. It golden bullets.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
This is good knowledge from Sean Miller.
Chipolopolo. Chipolopolo.
Sounds like the husband in Two Birds of a Feather. Two Birds of a Feather?
Two Birds of a Feather.
And
they've gone up 28 places to 43rd in the world now.
Whatever I do.
Herve Renard for England.
Herve Renard, yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Fair He's enough. A sexy man.
Capello left. I don't know if anyone noticed
this.
So, yeah.
I hadn't heard it.
Put our podcast to bed, because we recorded it the day before. In fact, apparently I was even quoted as saying he won't leave.
Did you?
Yeah. But what I meant at the time, to clear that up, is that England won't sack him. I didn't factor in that he might resign. I just assumed he's after the money.
No one saw that coming.
Not really, no.
No one saw him walking out.
Although a lot of people have said, like his former colleagues and his family, they interviewed his sister, of how proud a man he is.
So arrogant.
Arrogant, proud, but...
But do you know what? We could talk about this for God knows how long, but I do love the fact that... was it Thursday evening when it happened?
Wednesday.
Wednesday evening.
All
right. Yep. So the fact is that come Wednesday evening, we were 4 months away from a major tournament, no captain and no coach, but actually probably the most optimistic we've been in the last 2 years.
Very true.
Yeah. There was actually that sense of, do you know what, this actually might be good for us, because there was absolutely no hope of England, barely, you know, reaching the quarterfinals of this tournament. Whereas now, even though we've got no captain and no coach, there's actually a little fresh sort of air of optimism.
All we can ask for is that they bring someone in, whether it be Redknapp, Pearce, whoever's going to be there, and that's a story for another day. We'll talk about that at length, but I don't think we need to, because everyone's doing that. I'm going to burp. Excuse me. Nice. Someone to go in and just let them play with a little bit of freedom, so that we actually see an England team expressing themselves a little bit at a major tournament.
That's all I really want. I've got no kind of illusions that we're going to win
the game. The last time that happened, we were 2-0 up against Portugal, and then we lost 3-2, didn't we, in Euros? As under Keegan, because Keegan's that kind of man manager, plays the football the way it should be played. Didn't really work out for him, but we'll see. Tournament managerial changes, Mick McCarthy, who I exclusively revealed had been...
You did.
Paddy Power, their own sponsor, or Sporting Bet, their own sponsor, made him the favourite, and then he went. Stuart Force on that? Do you reckon Warnock's got a shout? Or Pardew, I've heard as well.
Kirbishley's
favourite.
Kirbishley,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's who I meant, sorry. Adam Pardew.
Yeah.
Adam Kirbishley.
Shooting as well took himself out of the running for some reason. Although he said
he was at Birmingham.
Which is fair enough.
They're flying at the moment.
Yeah.
Were they interested in him anyway? Or?
Well, it must have been. There must have been something that. Something.
He hasn't done a bad job so far, has he? Newcastle and Birmingham, he's done all right.
Yeah.
I'd like to be Kirbishley. I think he'd quite happily take them down.
Which is that's the thing for a QPR fan and any team down there. Now they've made that change, Blackburn might well be the same when they make it as well.
They won't get rid of them.
Well, if they do, though, they get that sort of uplift.
We haven't had that new manager uplift.
Speaking of that new manager uplift, how are things at QPR?
We'll get there.
Could be worse. Yeah. You could be another Rangers fan. Who this week have they actually been placed into an admin now?
Yeah, 10 points as well, I'll take it then.
Yep. I don't think they will ever go out of business. Really don't, because they've got so much support around the world and whatever. There'll be someone with enough money or enough contacts to get
out. Literally, only a few minutes ago, I read a very interesting article that I printed off. They reckon that this is not just a Rangers issue. They reckon it's basically it's to do with the employment benefit trusts, right?
Okay.
And EBTs allow foreign players to have their wages paid into a trust, withdrawing the money when they no longer live in Britain and hence avoiding the country's 50% tax on high earners.
Okay.
All details, right? These have now been declared illegal and are seen as a way to avoid paying millions of pounds in tax and national insurance on players' wages.
Well, they have to do something, because the way the taxes work, they could earn 50 grand at Sevilla and be earning more than 80 grand, net.
Football finance expert Dr. Chris Brady told The Sun...
He's a doctor as well, brilliant.
Rangers might be the tip of the iceberg. He said
it's become a scaremongering.
Yeah, but they reckon at least
Capello won't go.
Will you let me finish? We got about at least eight current or former Premier League clubs that are also being investigated at this very time because they've used the same system, which is now illegal. So it could be the tip of the iceberg.
Could be. Is that why the
Majesty's Revenue and Customs are so
on it at the moment?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Apparently, this whole thing that's been in place is now declared illegal, I imagine some of the Premier League clubs who have been doing it are probably pooping themselves.
As we're talking about admin as well, Portsmouth in dire straits. I saw a quote on Twitter or somewhere this week of a Pompey fan saying it's deja vu all over again. So good luck to them. It's crazy. If they go under again this time in terms of going into admin, they really need someone to come in properly this time and actually sort it out, because you would have thought they went into admin before it was never really resolved. They've always been sort of chugging along and they've still been able to get players in and stuff like that, but they really need sorting out. So I really hope they stay up. But the players still haven't been paid, and a lot of them took their shirts off, gave them to the fans after the Blackpool
game.
They've got to pay for them and they haven't been paid. That's the thing, because I mean they're a lot of them will be on decent championship wages, because they won't have been as get them off the championship wages, the wages they were on before, but they haven't been paid. So
they should have just said bid them on an eBay. They'd be on eBay in a couple of hours to the fans that they were throwing them at, perhaps.
So you're talking about making money. Bath City, has anyone seen this?
No.
Okay, Bath City giving people the chance to rename their ground for £50.
Oh, yeah. Really? I've seen that.
Yep.
Yeah, Stephen Grex.
What do you mean? Please explain, Jim.
Okay, you put £50 to Bath City and your name goes into a draw which is going to be made on Easter Monday. They pick one person out and that person gets to rename the stadium for one season for whatever they want.
This is what they've suggested,
after a person or a newborn baby or an event or something like that, but they must have some sort of legal stipulation that you can't sponsor. Obviously, it could be corporate, so if we should enter. £10 each.
Definitely.
Football Podcast Arena or whatever we want to call it.
That would be absolutely different.
At the same token, they might have an absolute idiot who wants to wank Stain Stadium or something ridiculous.
Yeah, just like the Wankdorf Stadium.
Yeah.
Like they have in Australia.
Yeah, which is actually a true stadium. True. Well done. So, yeah, we should enter, basically. I think that's quite good. Bath City are in trouble right at the bottom of the Blue Square Prem as well. So they obviously need the money. So it'd be interesting to see how much they generate. Because if they only get sort of 10, 20k out of it, then...
They'd be better off selling it to a financial sponsor, surely.
Over a season, potentially, yeah. But then how much revenue are they going to get from... They've got a lot of PR over it as well.
That's the thing.
They're
doing
all right.
There's a lot of press articles on it and stuff.
We're talking about it, and we're one of the big boys in the media.
We are one of the big boys.
So are we going to put some money in then?
I think we should. I'll be up for a tenner. It's payday today as well. Why not?
I don't want to call it the Football Podcast Arena, though. I want to call it something fucking stupid.
Language, Timothy.
Yeah, and we won't.
And we won't, no. That's the whole point. We're putting tenners in to call it the Football Podcast Arena.
Are we set on arena, or should we not have a debate about that?
Stadium.
Or, like they've said, hopefully there's some traditionists out there that will buy it and then actually call it its current name.
Right.
So buy it. So it'd be like you buying the rights for White Hart Lane, just calling it White Hart Lane.
In association with www.footballpodcast.co.uk.
Twerton Park is the name of the ground. So Twerton Park.
I
think Bristol Rovers used to play there. Before they were at the racecourse ground as well. So
we better briefly mention.
Can we just remember Villa and rubbish? That's all you need to say. That game was awful.
I was going to go into that after we go into this with the Suarez.
Yeah.
We've got to touch on it briefly.
Do we have to?
Well, yeah.
If Suarez had touched on it briefly with a handshake, it would have been a lot easier.
It leads into my next point. But the point is, I mean, there wasn't enough some controversy on that Saturday,
over someone
there?
Not shaking someone's hand.
I know, but it was.
The most interesting thing about it all for me was Rio Ferdinand getting done by his own man. when he came across him and he just sort of pushed him a little bit. And yeah,
oh, that was great. Yeah,
the two of the live games this season, this weekend, because Ferdinand got put on his basically his head, and Richard Dunn came from a phenomenal height on his shoulder. He's out for like a month, and he's not the sort of lad that you want landing on his own shoulder. He's like Stuart Orr in a ballerina's outfit landing on his noggin.
That's a wonderful sight.
But yeah, that Villa game was rubbish.
Touching this briefly is a housemate Matt Davies, the Southend fan. Yeah, we were having a discussion. He was saying that he thought it was bang out of order for Ferguson straight after the game to call Suarez a disgrace and all that for the handshake. Bearing in mind he's had a player like Cantona, who has kicked a geezer in the face.
Yeah, now, he was a Palace fan though.
Well, this is it. Hey. So, but then it was the question of what would you rather be called names or be kicked in the face?
By
Cantona.
I'd rather be kicked in the face. It'd be hilarious. Just seeing him come to
it wasn't so funny for Matthew Simmons.
But and he was saying the point is that they made a big point about Liverpool fans clapping Suarez when he first came back. It's not that they were accepting what he'd done, it was the fact that they were just chuffed that their striker was back. The same with Cantona. It's not what I was saying, it's the fact that Cantona, after he did it, came back.
Yeah.
They didn't agree with what he'd done, but it was the fact that they were applauding the fact that their striker was back.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit hairy, isn't it?
They when they made the apologies at sort of 4 o'clock, whatever it was on Sunday, that was the best thing to come from the weekend. Because they needed to do that, so hopefully it put it to bed. And Man United responded quite well as well. Man United thanked them for their apologies and basically said, right,
it needed to be done. It needed to be done. It needed to have a line drawn under it. But, and it, they reckon it was Henry, don't they? John W. Henry. All the sponsors.
I heard that Aaron Ramsey said that if they don't do it, he's going to score a goal and Suarez will be no more anyway. So.
It's true, but he's not a terrorist.
No. Well, we didn't work for Houston. It's now, how many is it? It's like five or six figures now, isn't it? The fact that they've just put Whitney Houston along. Like, it sort of fits in. If anyone doesn't know, when Ramsey scores, someone dies. And it used to be, like dictators. Like, it was Al Fayed, I was going to say there for a minute. Wouldn't have been very apt.
He's a form of dictator, but not that.
Bin Laden, Gaddafi, I think even Saddam Hussein, it went all the way back to that when he was really young, I think so, Brilliant. And now Whitney Houston's been banded along willy-nilly.
Why not?
So, but she's got a new film out this week, though.
Is she?
Whitney Houston, The Body Bag. It's going to be quite good. Cinemas nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
But on the handshake route, did anyone see... when you're at the Villa Man City game.
Oh, the kid.
The little mascot.
What's that, no?
You don't see it. And this is obviously 2 days after. The Villa mascot has gone down the line, right, shaking all the hands. The little 6-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And he's gone to introduce the Man City mascot, another little 6-year-old kid, and refused to shake his hand.
And moved on.
The kid stuck his hand out, and the kid looked at him, and went straight on to the Man City players. Yeah, it is.
Put it on the site. I want to have a look at that.
It's brilliant.
I want to have
it's
a little look at that.
Absolutely brilliant.
Because I've not seen it yet. James McLean. He scored for Sunderland. Good little finish as well, but Mats Mertesacker going down. Apparently he's actually injured. At the time, I just thought, he's lost the ball. I'll just crumple. They might stop.
He turns like a U-boat, didn't he?
Oh, it's ridiculous. He should be in Gillingham's team because defending is that bad. But that James McLean, he's absolutely doing a bit. He was signed by Bruce in August from Derry.
He wouldn't play him, would he?
No, well, he was signed as a sort of a youth sort of prospect. He made his he only made his debut under O'Neill in O'Neill's first game. I thought he played as a sub or something like that. Nope. Made his complete debut. Interestingly, I found out this about him. He's played for Northern Ireland under 21s twice, I think, or at least twice. They called him up when he made his move to Sunderland for a full international. He rejected them, and this week he's been made eligible to play for Republic of Ireland.
Really?
Controversial.
Yep.
Very controversial. Born in Derry in Northern Ireland, so I don't really know what the background is. If he moved to Republic of Ireland...
Wow. A grandfather
But I don't know whether it's a footman decision. He's thought, right, I want to play for Republic rather than all of Ireland. I don't think it would be. I think it must be. He might have moved there when he was sort of, so he's
maybe.
More. He feels he's more Irish than Northern Irish, but it's an interesting one. But they left him out of the squad. Their squad got announced on the 10th of February for the Czech Republic game, and he wasn't in it. So might not be the best decision he's ever made.
Yeah.
But you'd think he might have a chance of getting into a squad like that to have a bit like Oxlade-Chamberlain, a player that plays for your nation, is doing a bit in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Have a look at him, but he's not in the squad, so Trapattoni doesn't fancy it. But there we go. West Ham. the Twitter thing. I don't know anything about this. Sean mentioned it earlier. Did anyone see it? Because it's only happened a couple of hours ago.
Are we talking about the...
Morrison. Yes. Oh, what's he actually said? Does anyone know?
He called someone a faggot, if I'm allowed to say that. Well, I just did.
Well, you're quoting, so it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, he called someone a faggot. Quote. Then removed the offensive post.
And he has been charged
with homophobic abuse.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that charge mean? A fine or...
I don't know. It just been announced that it was on the BBC Sport,
they'll give him a chance to appeal, I assume, won't they?
Yeah, they said he has officially been charged with using homophobic or abuse.
Do we know the context of the tweet at all? Was he replying to someone that had said something?
I think they may have... Was it not racist abuse they were giving to him and then he just replied, faggot?
No, if that's the case, then that's
very wrong. But I don't think that can
be
the case.
It was kind of threatening something. If ever I see you, faggot, blah blah, something like that.
we'll find out about that.
We'll talk more next week on that.
On Twitter, really briefly, I want to touch on this really briefly. Okay, it's horrible.
Go on.
This is actually quite serious.
Colin Moore?
No, it's horrible. I've just been about an hour before we came down here. A mate of mine retweeted it. It's been retweeted about. Well, it says 50 plus times. I think that's something what they show.
Yeah.
But it basically says Football Fans Unite, get this explicit off Twitter. And it's basically some little arsehole. I don't know if I want to give him his actual.
No, don't.
No, yeah. Some little arsehole who's.
Billy Sharp.
Yeah, has been. Has basically tweeted Billy Sharp over and over again. You should have stayed to the end of the season. You this and basically really really horrible abuse about his kid, about glad he was dead and all that, like literally disgusting, absolutely disgusting. And hopefully there's sort of the big it's a whole thing, Football Fans Unite, get this, get him done, because it's disgusting.
If they're going to charge a player for what is obviously a stupid remark and shouldn't be said, and then they should go after the Joe Public.
Exactly. But
then
again, they have charged the Sunderland fan for
Who was that?
About Denver Barr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully
they've done it before, because it's
disgusting. It's disgusting. It's football. It's bigger than football. And that's pathetic. Mm. Anyway, sorry, bad and sad news, but I had to mention because we like Billy Sharp.
Yeah.
Love him. And he's done all right. He's done all right since his move, hasn't he? Is it 3-3 or?
I think he's just scored.
Scored one.
One.
Goal. So I don't know where your 3-3 is coming from.
Nah, I think he's scored in his. Was it on his debut?
He didn't score
last night.
And he's not been treated by a dog by anyone at the club, so that's nice to know.
Yeah. Poor little Tevez.
I see what you've done there.
We'll talk about Tevez, I reckon, next week, because it'll be very interesting. He's basically back in training today, but he's been training on his own or with the reserves. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that story develops. So we'll come back on.
Apparently they don't want him back.
Someone's going to crash
through him. Although Johnny Lescott tweeted that, got to say, all the players here are really excited to have Carlos, Yaya and Kolo back. So, I mean, that's one of the players actually tweeting that they're glad to have him back. So maybe they do want him back. But
Carlos was a physio for Ivory Coast, went with...
I have got a little bit of Gary Neville news.
Oh, I love.
The Teletubbies homes, it's not going to happen anymore.
This is
from our own brilliant paper, the Sunday Mirror, the best Sunday newspaper out. Football legend Gary Neville has given his 6 million Teletubbies home the boots. He's replacing it with an equally bizarre mansion shaped like a giant butterfly, though.
Good
at that. So, it's not too bad. The massive structure is made of glass, wood and other eco-friendly materials.
He's going to get a window smashed, then.
Yeah, with two roofs jutting out like wings.
Do you know what?
We'll keep you updated on that one.
It was after the Saturday game with Suarez and the handshake and that I did... It annoyed me, though, a little bit, because as much as I really couldn't stand Gary Neville up until now, but it bugs me the fact that I think he's one of the best pundits or commentators
out there
at the moment.
He says it out, and he didn't criticise ever for doing what he did.
No.
To be fair, if he had done, you know, people in glass houses and all that.
Yeah, but I just think ignored it.
We should all ignore
him. I really enjoy him actually as a pundit, because he doesn't mince his words, and he's actually very good.
His analysis is good, and I completely agree with everything he said. Like, I like to see things like Evra winding up Suarez there. It's good.
There's no way I think you can have a go at Evra for wind him up after the game.
Heat of the moment.
It's heat of the moment, exactly.
When it's a player who's played for their club, or with a decent record for the club, and on the international stage, you can respect their opinion, can't you?
Yeah.
And if the opinion's, if the opinion's there and it's warranted and it's entertaining, if it's entertaining, even better so. And obviously, he can put across entertaining opinions. That's why he's on Sky. Which moves me to.
Well done.
Michael Owen posted this. It was about a week ago now, but I didn't
get a
chance.
He's not much fun on Twitter, is he?
It's brilliant, mate. He's bang on, Sue. It's bang on. This was his tweet. Favourite chocolate bar, past or present, people. Had an argument with one of our fizz yesterday. His picks were so boring. Your tweets are so boring, Michael Owen. He's talking to people. Then he says, quite a few Caramac shouts. Can see where you're coming from. Another thing I want answering. Maltesers or Minstrels? Question mark. Strangely, I prefer the chocolate in Minstrels, but I'm signing with Maltesers.
Oh, that is strange. You're right, yes. Michael, that is very strange. Right,
so then, our friend Richard Kingston, who we now know is not the actual Blackpool guy,
I don't think it was.
He got involved and said this: I'm desperate for new followers, and at the Michael Owen has over a million, so I will tweet like him, dot dot. I like playing digestives with my tea. And then a few hours later, he went, does anyone like food? I went to eat a korma. It was too spicy. hashtag Michael Owen questions. And then a little bit later, just sorted out my Valentine's plans. Hopefully, she'll have cleared customs by the 14th.
Nice.
So we'll keep you up to date with someone you should follow, even though he's not an actual football player, is Richard Kingston. Someone you probably shouldn't, it's Michael Owen, because he's talking about boiled sweets and whatever boiled else.
Chocolate
so.
Bars.
What about old... Well, we've got it down. What about AVB? He's in a bit of trouble.
Good night.
He's in a bit of trouble,
the Porto chairman has said that he's been undermined by the players sending Mourinho.
They
texts.
Still text him.
Yeah. How on earth does he know that?
A, how do you know? And B, they might just be like, how you been?
Well, they probably have been like that. Yeah. And if
what
it was,
been up to?
Congratulations.
If it was Mourinho, if it was the other way around, if it was Mourinho texting the players and badgering them, then I could sort of understand it. But it's like, all right, mate, it's got nothing to do with you.
No.
Back off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in a bit of trouble. Bringing off two of your best players, and we were talking about Everton the other day when they beat Man City. They're on a little good run.
They are on a good little
run. And what's his name? The lad that they got back from your place, Peanut.
Stephen Peanut.
Some of his tricks were awesome.
Bizarre, but I suppose, mate, he's given the license to Everton. He's obviously one of those players that relishes giving the license, whereas he couldn't have it at Spurs because there's too many other. Oh, I would say better players that aren't given that licence at Spurs, but at Everton, he thrives on it. I mean, great goal, like that headed interception, makes the run, one touch, left foot, bang. That was great. But I'm happy for him.
You've been playing that
nice
through your head, haven't you, Dan? You've been playing that through your head over and over again.
You've been trying to recreate it, it's not going anywhere. Jules, were on Monday Night Football, it wasn't very good. Did anyone watch it?
I watched a bit of it, Dan.
The only reason I mention it is because if I don't, I know I'll get a load of people on Twitter having a go at me for not mentioning it. It was rubbish. It was worse than the Villa Man City game. Very good goal by Gavin Tomlin.
Isn't that a Jill's opinion? Wasn't it actually? If you were a South End
fan,
wasn't it a first half? Didn't they just completely destroy it?
No, it wasn't a very good game. I had a lot of people telling me it was the worst game they've ever seen live.
They obviously didn't watch the QPR Gillingham game that there was once on Sky. That was awful.
Probably. Was that when the guy punched
Marcus
it into
Bean
his
punched it in the back of the net?
No, it was really bad. Southend aren't a very good team at all.
No.
Unfortunately, they're better than Gillingham.
Do you see who got the assist for the second goal?
Was it Millet?
Millet Moshnu.
He got quite a lot of abuse, I'll be honest.
Not a surprise.
He looks awful, doesn't he?
He's not an attractive man.
No, it's very strange. But there you go, you don't get prizes for that in football.
Exactly.
To supplement my completely useless watching football abilities, I'm going to watch Hamburg versus Werder Bremen on Saturday.
That's
going
to be great, mate.
What?
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Wait, why?
I'm on a stag do in Germany, and it just happens that we're in Hamburg. Nice. And Hamburg are playing at home, so we've got some tickets.
That's exactly what I did a couple of years ago when I was in Valencia on a stag do, and it was Valencia Villarreal.
I thought you were going to say you went to Valencia and then went over to watch Hamburg at home to Werder
Bremen. That would have been a bit silly. Yeah, I went to the Sky and watched Valencia Villarreal.
One last thing from me as well. You might know this, Sean. Crystal Palace have had to install electric fences to keep foxes off the pitch.
we've had that about three or four times.
Oh, really? I saw it the other day, and it basically said to keep foxes from shitting on the pitch, but you can't.
Foxes run them during games.
Really?
Yeah, it's often.
But electric
like
fences to keep shit off the pitch. They've got to take the team off if they want to do that.
Speaking of. Strange things on the pitch. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with speaking of strange things on the pitch. I remember, as you might recall last week.
You were looking on your phone for a good 5-10 minutes.
I forgot this bit of paper last week.
Longer than that.
Just quickly as well, while I've remembered, we're outside today as well.
We are.
Yeah.
We mentioned that. Did we mention it?
Yeah, we did start the show.
And bear in mind, it's still that cold.
I'm going to go back to my cider. It's not cold, but I'm quite enjoying it. We can see the pub inside, but it was very busy
last week.
They look colder in there.
Oh, I don't know about that. Anyway.
She looks all right.
So, yeah, last week.
She's not bad, James.
Is she not? Sean's standing on the table to see the new barmaid.
Right, a bit of weird news in football. I found this rather funny.
It better be good title, after all this as well.
It is pretty good. It said Grandpa still has the hump. with his rivals. So Grandpa, who is the mascot of Brazilian side Sierra, has been banned for 2 matches after allegedly making obscene gestures at rival Ferroviaro fans. However, this isn't the first time, because those in the know insist the bad feeling between the sides dates back to 2009 when Ferroviario's mascot Jubilito tried to hump Grandpa on the pitch. Quote. So, mascots,
I don't see a downside to this. I think it's a fantastic little bit.
Mascots trying to hump each other. I mean, you wouldn't. There's a picture of Grandpa. It's an old man mascot, and yeah. I don't know. And apparently, so tried to get humped, and now he's been banned for making obscene gestures to the rest of the fans.
Good lad.
That's absolutely brilliant.
The article you've got, is that someone proposing at the New England's
game? It was a Super Bowl. It was a Super Bowl. One of the players that
Who was in the Super Bowl? New York
Giants.
Yeah, this is New England Patriots. Because yeah. I've heard Herrera's going to be the New England boss, isn't he?
Oh, here we go.
Sorry about that. So I'll just leave that there. Right, one last thing from me.
Go
before we go on to the question. The Bootiful Game, which is at Bootiful Game, spelled Bootiful Game.
Oh, I saw them the other day, yeah.
It's really good. They started following us, so I had a little look at what they do. Basically, it's like infograms and
data visualisation
and graphs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Me and Sean pulled a little blog off, which I think I've retweeted already, but I'm going to tweet it out this afternoon as well. It's absolute genius. Premier League Golden Boot winners by their hair.
Facial hair.
You have to identify them by their hair. Well, just their hair. Facial hair, eyebrows. Yeah. Any hair they've got, you have to identify them. It's genius. And there's some really good stuff on there as well. So I'd like our followers to start following them. I'm going to keep an eye on it. They're on our follow list on Twitter as well. So we'll keep an eye on it. But there's some absolutely cracking stuff on there, so I can't recommend it enough. And I will send out, we're going to do a bit more football podcast quizzes this week as well.
Nice.
Later on in the week, so there'll be one of those coming at you, and we'll retweet this as well. Absolutely.
Little bit of news, not interesting at all. David Bentley to the MLS, good riddance.
Is he going?
Apparently, isn't it? Perfect. How old is he? He's 26, 27,
yeah,
isn't he?
But he once put a ball in a skip, didn't he, on the YouTube, so good player. Podcast burning question, gentlemen. Assuming Harry Redknapp was ruled out for some reason, who would you actually put in charge of England at Euro 2012? My only option would be Stuart Pearce. I don't know anyone else that I'd put in.
He's having a busy summer though. He's got the Olympics on his hands already, hasn't he?
Yeah,
but I really can't see. I'm interested. The reason I put the question in is because I'm interested to know what else you can come up with, to be honest.
Yeah, that's who I'd go for.
So you'd go foreign?
Yeah,
again?
I would go foreign.
Really?
Yeah.
Stu, same as you?
Yeah.
Dan?
I think he's a much better coach than Stuart Pearce.
Yeah, I suppose Pearce would have the passion, but you got, if so you want actually a genuine bona fide manager who's got the experience and the class, you go with Hiddink, and he's not doing a lot, is he?
So you go with Hiddink as well? It's a unanimous podcast.
I don't know if it is. I was thinking about this a lot, and I genuinely don't know.
That's why I put it in there. It's really hard. There's just it's very hard.
I mean, as much as I hate to say it and admit it, I mean, Harry's gone in the summer, as far as I'm concerned, which I'm devastated about. I know you don't like me talking about Spurs, but it all depends for Spurs who they get in, and it's got to be someone big. If he's going to go at the end of the season and he's going to become England manager, why not put Redknapp in?
Jamie.
At the very start, no.
Literally put Jamie Redknapp in the England job.
Why not put Harry Redknapp? Why not give him the... Because he doesn't need... It's not like he needs the
he's
time
still
with the
about
players.
Spurs, yeah?
No, I'm talking about Harry Redknapp.
And England.
I'm not talking about Spurs, Dave.
He's going to be the new England boss.
Right.
I read about Harry Redknapp's car crash this week. I knew about it, but I never really looked into it. It happened in Italy in 1990. He was watching a game. They were in a minibus. Drove from where they were back to their hotel. And three Italian guys... were in a car on the wrong side of the road, came into their minibus at 90 miles an hour.
Hang on, the Italians were on the wrong side of the road?
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because you'd have thought, if anything, that the English people would have been on the wrong side of the road because it's a foreign country.
Have you seen the Italians drive?
They had a...
Yeah, you're right.
Their minibus driver was Italian anyway. They just sort of hired a minibus. But yeah, they've been to the beach all day. Redknapp is quoted as saying that he doesn't know if they were drunk, cause as far as he knows the police never, because they all three of the kids died in the other car.
But
he said that they knew that they'd been on the beach all day and they were driving 9 miles
an
hour.
What year was it, sorry?
1990 was when the World Cup was on. But Harry Redknapp, the guy sitting next to Harry Redknapp, was his MD or something at Bournemouth. He died and it was one of his best mates. And the chairman of York City at the time pulled Redknapp out the wreckage. And they actually thought he was dead. The police and the ambulance put a cover over him.
You're joking?
No. Yeah. They put a cover over him. They thought he was dead and they took him to the hospital. And
never knew any of this.
Yeah.
No.
Read it this week.
Good bit of info.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. It's a serialisation of his book called Harry. Which I don't know if the book's any good, but that was
book published in 1999, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah. Suddenly being, I think it was the Sun are doing a serialisation or something like that. So there we go. There we go. Yeah. Right, Dan, Melbourne Heart. Anything to tell us?
It's not good news.
Did they lose again?
No. It's not good news. They didn't just lose. They got humped 3-0.
No. Humped.
Yeah.
You don't really hear the word humped.
No,
these days,
not enough.
Unless when your grandpa's involved.
Yes, true. Yeah. That's twice I've managed to use the word humped. Yeah. No, unfortunately, they lost again and 3-0 against Newcastle. They're still in the playoff places in sixth, but they are struggling. They've got dodgy goal difference and they're playing Gold Coast United. Wait for that. They're playing Gold Coast United this weekend, Friday night.
Yeah.
And we were bottom of the league and they could really, really do with a win. Unfortunately, their defender came out and said that they're not playing as a team. He said, unfortunately, he said, it's not just limited to the goal scoring. He said, they're
it
just.
It can't help that their manager said that he's going to leave at the end of the season either. That's not going to be beneficial to anyone, really, is it?
They still. The general consensus.
Imagine if you were fearing that your manager might leave at the end of the season. That would be disastrous, wouldn't it? I can't imagine it happening over here.
The general consensus is still that they reckon.
Didn't Hart, get that even, did he? No.
I do, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. They reckon Hart will make it still. But. And the only bit of positive news.
Hart will make what still?
They'll make playoffs.
Okay.
I reckon the general consensus in the media is that they will make the playoffs still, but they need to pick things up starting this Friday. But the good news is.
Fred's back.
Excellent.
Fred is back. Their top goal scorer, their captain, is back.
Their MD tweeted a picture of him, didn't he, this week? He said, look who's back in training. And it was just a little picture of Fred doing his boots up on the training grounds. he looked hot, I'll tell you that
much.
It's
really good.
Sexy man.
It's really
not
good.
Not quite Hervé Renard sexy, but he's up there.
No, definitely not. All right, we'll move on. Quick one. Not that many blogs went up this week. Dan's going to rectify that when he gets back to the office and actually put one up for once.
See, I did one last week.
What was it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, good. Must have been a really good one. You said you were going to put the mascot up. Mascot block,
yeah,
you said.
Yours was the last one, I think, to be fair. It was something.
No, the last
not
one was
true.
One
leg on the cup.
Went up yesterday. This was their journey. Basically, it's the guys that are doing the FA Cup from the qualifying round right through to the final. They hope they can get tickets all the way, which they should do. It was their latest blog. It was basically the prelude to the Chelsea game. They haven't actually kicked off yet, have they? They were just travelling down and... but yeah, it's very good, very good. The next one will be up next week for that as well, so keep an eye out for that. Right, true or false? Mike Coxon, as you might have heard, is not here, or rather not heard, isn't here. So Stuart Hoare is going to just sort of fly into his place and
I want it done in a Mank accent.
Don't ask for that. That'll be ridiculous. Hit us with us, Stu. What's the true or false?
Kevin Keegan was born on Valentine's Day.
That is true.
Were Darren so Purse, Bakary Sagna, Angel Di Maria and David Wheater.
And my mum.
Okay.
And your mum?
Yeah. Mum.
Oh, is that nice?
So, is Kevin Keegan is actually called Joe Keegan? True or false? Or, actually, no, which one's true, I suppose you don't want to ask it.
Doesn't matter.
Kevin Keegan advertised cigarettes in Iran in the mid-90s.
So he's either called Joe or he advertised cigarettes?
Yes.
What do you reckon,
cigarettes.
Guys?
Cigarettes. I'm going to go, that's more exciting than just being called Joe.
I'll go with cigarettes as well. It's a unanimous podcast verdict, cigarettes.
Hang on, I did this last time.
It's with it.
He did this last time.
Go on.
Silver?
I'm going the opposite. I'm going that his name's actually Joe.
Dan, you're right. It's Joe Keegan.
Yes, 2 out of 2.
Why did he change his
two
name to
Kevin? 2 out of 2.
Well, why does he call... He might have had another Joe in the family.
You're just got it because you're... 0 for 2, as they would
I'm
say.
I'm not bothered. I don't really like the feature at all. I don't think it works.
I think it's a huge lie.
Mike's not here.
You're devastated.
Who votes we scrap the feature? It's
absolutely not.
Yeah, no,
I think it's rubbish. Yeah,
I like it.
No, I think it's rubbish.
You like it's rubbish because you keep losing.
Yeah.
No, I really think it's rubbish. Just before we say our goodbyes, player spotted this week. Harry Redknapp telling his local KFC drive-through attendant Terry's his smashing player, but it's not one we're looking at. I could actually see him doing that as well, just pretending it's a Sky Sports camera. All right, you can contact us. Email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. Facebook, which has got no love still from Dan Silver and Matt Coxon.
Yes, it has.
What
it has.
Did you do?
We got the show up last week. And,
well,
and
you got the show up.
And the the picture of the what team you should support.
Yeah.
That's up there as well.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, it was still up there.
Well, yeah, I said you haven't given any love.
No, well, I'll put the show up.
You did the link wrong as well. We'll talk about that.
It wasn't to be fair, it wasn't me, it was Coxon.
Did you see what he did as well? He left it. Don't worry. So you actually haven't done anything.
No, you're right, I haven't actually.
Dan Silver is going to go all over Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. You've got to put a the in, which is very confusing. I don't know why Si did that. Hello, Simon Head, as well, everyone.
Hi, Si.
Hi, Si.
Complaints to @SimonHead, always. That's @SimonHead. You can follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. Our followers are shooting through the roof. Not literally, they're not like.
Bang!
Yeah. And visit us at footballpodcast.co.uk, where you'll be able to listen to this. So you might already be on there. If you are, scroll down, look around. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's all right.
Isn't good it? Right, we'll speak to you next week. Next
good
week,
night.
A little bit of a change to the format, so keep an eye out for that.
Oh, yeah, podcast special next week, isn't
podcast
it?
Podcast special, yeah. We'll be with you as Thursdays always, because Thursday is
podcast day.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Take care.